decision to remove U.S. forces from first the front lines of the fight with the Turks in northeastern Syria and now pretty much all of northern Syria. To discuss this, I'm pleased to say we are joined by Matt Brodsky. Matt is a frequent contributor to this program and a senior fellow at the Gold Institute for International Strategy. He writes prolifically on these topics and has been very, very, well, forthright, shall we say, in his criticism about President Trump and the decision he made that has now precipitated things we want to talk with him a bit about and what may come next. Matt, it's good to have you back. Welcome.
Good to be with you.
So tell us a little bit about your assessment of the president's decision and where we are as things stand now in its aftermath.
Well, to be clear, when President Trump was running for office, he was saying that the defeat of ISIS, the pushback on Iran, and a peace agreement between Israel and Palestinians that for sure kept Israel secure. These were the three priorities he's had in the Middle East. He has catastrophically undermined every single part of his Middle East policy. The withdrawal basically means now that we have wasted around $40 billion since he's been as president. That's how much we've wasted continuing to be in the Syrian war. Because, frankly, we're giving everything back to our enemies but improved locations as Russia is currently taking over the bases that we were just in, a day ago. So on every single conceivable level, this has been a complete disaster. Strategically, we were keeping 30% of the country pacified. So this wasn't like an active war. And from that, we were ensuring the enduring defeat of ISIS, which will now be reconstituted and resurgent. And Iran, we were blocking at least one or two of the main overland routes that Iran was using to get to the Mediterranean. One of those will now have a border crossing in the north that they never even really dreamed of having. We just gave it up on a silver platter. And we gave up all our leverage to control any aspect of Syria's future, where without owning the entire Syrian mess, we could have at least maintained a say, as a world power should have, in what the future looks like there. Morally, to just turn on an ally like this is completely, just frankly, disgusting. I mean, we have been trying to get Russia to dump Iran as its proxy, and we are the only country to have just turned on our own proxy and then to try to sell it as though, they were fighting for their own land, as if we went to the beaches of Normandy in World War II and decided, we're not going to go ashore. Britain is fighting for its own land. This isn't their big deal. So whatever, this isn't for us. That's a ridiculous kind of statement. Politically, it seems like it's incredibly risky. Procedurally, though, and here this is even, I think, as frustrating as the rest, is frankly, even if you think that what we should do is completely dump on our ally and try to realign with Turkey, there is not a single thing that was done here that was done correctly, that was done to advance American interests. We completely gave away all of our leverage in exchange for absolutely nothing. We had something that Turkey wanted, that Russia wanted, that Assad and Iran wanted, and we gave it away for absolutely nothing. And I got to say, if this is how we conducted a negotiation with one phone call to Erdogan, it makes you wonder what a nuclear agreement with either North Korea or Iran would look like, because this was the worst negotiation I have seen.
Strong views. I think there are quite a number of us who share them, and I appreciate your very forthright way in conveying the character of the decision that was made and the way it has been playing out. Talk to us, Matt Brodsky, about the mission that Mike Pompeo and Vice President Pence are now embarked on to Turkey in the aftermath of this decision, the prospects that some salvaging will be able to be made there, and what do you think that would look like if it were possible?
Well, I mean, at the moment, just within the span of a few hours, Erdogan said that he's not even going to meet with him. Then he reversed his decision, which is everything that has happened since then, since we have zero leverage in this entire area now, since Trump just gave it away. Very little is going to possibly come from it. The sanctions that the president announced are not strong enough to actually reverse something. And everything that we've seen happen in the past week is all what you would need to have worked out on the very phone call that Trump had with Erdogan. So we're trying to scramble to get a piece of the pie back when we had the entire portion of the pie. And now we're doing it without leverage. And the fact, incidentally, that Erdogan knows that he doesn't really, it doesn't matter what he says to Pence and to Ambassador Jeffrey and Pompeo, because he has a standing invite to the White House in November. That is simply unconscionable, but that's the reality. So I don't see how he's going to want to give anything to Trump's underlings, even if we had leverage, if he's got an invite to see President Trump as an honored guest at the White House next month.
I fully expect that that will be over the side, especially if this mission does not go well. Presumably, Matt, what the administration would say is, well, we've established with the first round of sanctions that we are prepared to use them to punish the Turks and reconstitute some measure of leverage, and that we will, as the president said yesterday, bring to bear much more if we need to. Do you anticipate that that could make a difference in behavior modification on Erdogan's part?
Nope. Qatar is going to make a difference that you can be guaranteed of, but we've also managed to, at the same time, with this fanciful theory, is undermine everything we're doing with Iran, because now we broadcast our weakness in showing that all we are willing to do is put financial measures on. We are not willing to do anything militarily at all whatsoever. There is no red line. Even acts of war against allies, against the global economy, against our own equipment in international waters, we are not willing to do anything except put financial sanctions on. And when a country in the Middle East knows that all it needs to do is weather sanctions and there's no further penalty, it will weather those sanctions. So I'm afraid we've undermined ourselves on multiple fronts.
Matt Brodsky, we have much more to talk with you about, but I think we're at the end of our time for today. Needless to say, I very much hope that your forecast is inaccurate. I think you do too. I fear it's right, in at least broad outlines, and we will be watching closely with your help at the Gold Institute for International Strategy. We'll pick this up with you again soon. Matt, thank you so much for your time today. Keep up the good work, my friend. We'll talk with you in the near future. Next up, we'll speak with Gordon Chang right after this.